Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Yes, Andy's at home, broadcasting from home, so this is him down his phone into the producer's phone. Oh, the technology is a wonderful thing, isn't it? This afternoon, we reflected on some comments by Neil Warnock after his team were knocked out of the cup. He said, we've got to kill off the under-23s. They've got to be playing against men, otherwise it's always going to be men against boys. And Michael Calvin, a man who knows about this, journalist and author, joined us to chat about that. Funnily enough, that feeds into our other guest today, one of the Crawley Town goal scorers. Nick Cerulla has got quite an amazing story after a bad road accident he had a couple of years ago. He's had a long road back, but he also was at Brentford, the team that beat Borough, and he told us a little bit about that as well. We had a chat, including Benjamin Mendy's girlfriend from Athens, and all sorts of other stuff as well. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And yes, a quite enjoyable, if slightly different, FA Cup weekend, I thought. Match of the day on Saturday night. Gabby's intro had so many caveats about the whole competition before she got to the point of, yeah, we have got some excitement for you as well. It was a difficult weekend. Some things I noticed. Sheffield Wednesday, 3 wins since Tony Pulis left. Talk about manager exit bounce. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that often incredible. Happens, doesn't it? Caretaker manager bounce. It's kind of that.
That was amazing.
If you get caretaker manager bounce, maybe there should be the Glen Rhoda Award at the end of the season. The LMA should give out the Glen Rhoda Award every year to the caretaker who does a fantastic job.
That's a good idea. And I noticed a very interesting fashion report from Bristol City versus, was it Bristol City? Yeah, Bristol Rovers? I can't remember. We were playing Sheffield United. One of the
Bristol Rovers, teams, that was, yeah.
Bristol Rovers,
make them both feel special.
I know, they hate each other. But it was fascinating, the contrast between Paul Tisdale and Chris Wilder. Tisdale looking so stylish. He had like a navy, sort of heavily padded denim duffel coat with a sheepskin collar and a kind of nod to Motti, a nice fur hood, a sienna brown ribbed knitted cardigan with ring zipper, a well-washed chambray shirt, just peeping
is it,
through
hang
the
on.
Top.
Have you noticed all this, or was this from a report?
Noticed it. I wrote all this down on a fashion level.
Nice.
I know. The man's got style, and then along comes Chris Wilder in a plain zipped club anorak, black club anorak. It was unbelievable. They do look very different, but there you go.
Chris always wears the club shop stuff, doesn't he? I mean, that's his style. When we play suit or tracksuit, Chris Wilder would always be tracksuit.
I don't know if you can see me. I've run out of tea bags. I'm having to use...
I was slightly worried. All I could hear was this sound of trickling water. And I'm sure the listeners could hear that
bone
as well.
Bone china teapot, because I've run out of tea bags. That is really poor, isn't it?
Okay.
What can you
do? At least you're doing that. It could have been a lot worse. My imagination was running wild.
When we did fantasy football, we used to have a thing called low headers. You know, where a player makes an unnecessarily low header where he could have used his feet.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant one in the Chorley striker. He tried to head the ball in the net. He was at 6 inches off the ground. It was sensational.
Yeah.
But Do you think, I'm beginning to think though, everyone loves the way Leeds play and everything, but is Bielsa a bit of a myth? I mean, that was an absolutely pathetic result from a Leeds point of view. Great for Crawley, but I mean, they shouldn't be losing to Crawley. Not 3-0, it shouldn't be all over like that. It was Leeds seem to be able to lose 3-0 to anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, I know they can beat people. You just wonder what, you know, everyone going, oh, he's so great, Bielsa, he's so fantastic, but that was a pretty poor result. Most managers just be under pressure after a result like that.
Yeah, we'll be speaking.
I know he's done
a
great job.
We'll be speaking to one of the Crawley players a little bit later on. See if you know. See if that's something that weighs on their mind when they play. But anyway, we will be chatting to Nick Cerullo, one of the goal scorers. He's got quite the story of getting out there at the weekend and being part of that Crawley team. What else have we got for you today? Well, we're going to have a chat with Mike Calvin very shortly, author and journalist, and author of a fine book on academy football, No Hunger in Paradise, talking about youngsters playing the game. And it's time to scrap the under-23s, says Neil Warnock. So we'll be finding out why. It's all based around what went on in the FA Cup.
Sure.
I think it's just kind of... It cemented his thinking when he looked at some of his young Borough players in action against Brentford.
I made the same comment. I mean, academy players never do well against men. They don't. It doesn't matter what the standard is. I mean, is it the FA Vase or whatever that trophy that they have? You see the Premier League teams with big academies lose to teams, you know, in League One and League Two.
The Papa John's, Andy. Not the FA, the not the FA trophies, the Papa
the
John's
glory,
these days.
Glory of the Papa John's.
Yeah, the FA trophy.
Fantastic. But they do, they, you know, and I wasn't surprised to see them, Derby's kids, lose, you know.
Yeah. Should we have a quiz? You want to start with a quiz? Let's play a game of the game show. I'm still trying to get away, but I think because of the nature of the format, is quite difficult. It's called Have Another Guess. Because ultimately, you just keep guessing until you get it right. So it could be like Mrs. Doyle in Father Ted. So do you know what Bobby DeCordova Reed's middle name is?
Bobby DeCordova Reed. I've only got about 1,000 names to choose from.
Well, that's the whole
from.
Point, yeah. So we've gone until 4, though, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Algernon.
Well, you got the first letter right. That's good. Have another guess. You get the idea of this game show. We won't keep going
so
for too long.
Begins with A. Alexander.
Have another guess.
Aristotle.
That is three very random names beginning
well,
with A.
Well, it's not going to be. If, you wouldn't do this if his name was Alan or something. Like
Bobby
Andy. You
Aristotle DeCordova Reed.
Well, look, it's not going to be a normal one, is it? It's not going to be a normal name, is it?
Okay. Should I tell you?
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Armani.
Oh, really?
How soon would that have come up? It probably would have been about at least 2 hours, wouldn't it? Father Todd Unctious. It would have been one of those, wouldn't it? Would have taken you 2 hours.
Longer than 2 hours.
Imagine, how long could we string this out before there were letters of complaint or the management came in? Imagine that. 4:45, you're going, Arthur.
Arnold.
Albert. And then suddenly I see a face at the window, management just doing that with a hand across it. Well, no, look, he hasn't guessed it yet, I think you'll find. So we're going to carry on and we're going to stay here until he does.
Do we know why he's called Armani?
I can't bring you that.
In honour of the great Italian designer.
Well, I would imagine. It's something. It's spelt the same way. Maybe his folks were quite stylish, like you are, Andy, clearly.
like Paul Tisdale.
Torquay have a player called Armani, so it's more popular than you think, apparently.
Obviously,
it's a bit of local
River Plate goalie. The River Plate goalie is Armani. Just
three people there called Armani.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Some interesting comments from the Borough manager, Neil Warnock, after they lost to Brentford at the weekend in the FA Cup regarding the under-23 system. He says, we've got to get rid of the under-23s and get back to reserve teams. You can't have under-23s because you don't learn how to play the game. We need something like the Central League, which is what we had when I was brought up. I don't think the 23s have worked for years. They get taught the wrong principles in football. They've got to go back to having reserves for the lads who aren't in the first team, and there won't be such a big difference. It's just jobs for the boys, the under-23s, he adds. You don't improve, and I don't think there's any progression in that system at the moment. And I think it was highlighted by the fact that Brentford have gone in a different direction from that point of view. Joining us now, author of a fine book on youth football, No Hunger in Paradise, journalist and author Michael Calvin. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon, chaps.
Yeah, Brentford have gone in a different way. You've talked about this before. They've got a sort of B team system, sort of mixed age group B team. So the person in charge at the weekend, the coach Neil McFarlane, felt it's a terrific way to operate. He says, I see the opportunity to test the boys in the variety of fixtures we have. You find yourself against the elite sides, for example, and you also come up against non-league teams. So he thinks they're better equipped in the B-team system. What do you make of it all?
I fully agree with Neil Warnock. All those years in the game actually probably have been put to good use in this one. What happened around about the time of the elite player performance plan being brought into academies was it actually created a sort of self-sustaining culture where, you know, there were little empires being built, frankly. The young players were well coached, theoretically at least. But, you know, I agree with Neil. There is a job for the boys' culture at some clubs, generating by the funding. And I just think it's not fit for purpose at that sort of 16-plus level. Brentford took the view. It was messy at the time in 2016 when they essentially closed their academy and brought in the B team. But the principle over time has actually been proven that essentially they've funneled the cost of running an academy into a system which actually can generate income as well, because they'll bring in B team players. Some will actually make the transition up into the first team, and others will be moved and sold on. So I do think we're at a stage now, and especially with COVID and everything else that's gone on, and you know, when you look at this weekend has highlighted the issue, you've got a situation now where clubs are looking at the sacred cows of the system, and maybe one or two of those might get slaughtered on the way.
Michael, when the Papa John's, as it's known now, that competition started, academies versus League One and Two, people were fearful that you'd get a final at Wembley between Manchester United's under-23s and Chelsea's under-23s, and it just hasn't happened. They almost invariably don't qualify. They usually lose a lot of games. I mean, it's probably the best football they ever get to play, the best experience for them. But it is difficult, men against boys.
Absolutely. That was a stalking horse, obviously, for B teams into the lower reaches of the league, probably, wasn't it? But, I take your point. What it does highlight is the anemic nature of most of that development, in inverted commas, footballer under 23 level. Academy players, and I'm being general here because obviously they are a showcase for some really exceptional talent. I was looking at a clip on YouTube the other day of an England under 16 team which had Jude Bellingham in, Jamal Musiala, Louis Barry, who obviously scored that goal against Liverpool on Friday, Liam Delap, who's doing well at Manchester City. So that there is talent within the system, but generally it's almost robotic, almost fearful football in a way. It's don't make a mistake, it's a bit tippy tappy, it's a bit, as I said, anemic. And when you have someone like a Neil Warnock, who has been brought up on an entirely different system, he's not afraid to speak truth to power on it. And, frankly, I don't think it does prepare players for, the muck and bullets of professional football.
Yeah, and I think we saw that really. Surely Derby did feel that archetypal men against boys game, didn't it, watching that on Saturday? I mean, I think that's probably why the FA Cup has highlighted that in Neil's view.
Absolutely. The Chorley one was an interesting one because Derby have a group of players there who haven't really been exposed to the real world, to football's real world. And actually, non-league now, basically, it's almost a landing area for players who've been in the academy system, and maybe because of lack of the right attitude or the right chances, or actually just being worn down by what essentially is premature professionalism. We've got kids now, at 9 years old, thinking that football is their job, which is a nonsense. That's where we are. And that's why, I remember talking to Sean Dyche about it, and he said, he can see players almost revived by being out of the system. And, you know, they'll come again at 17, 18, 19, because when you look at the under 23 teams, there's a huge drop off between the ages of 18 and 21 in terms of the players who actually make it and make a living out of the game. The game takes them so far. You can look at it cynically and say, well, these under 23 teams, they probably know that although they've had their first professional contracts, the clubs probably know that 8 or 9 of the players in a team won't actually make it at their club. And so that's where, you know, it's almost an extension of the academy system, where they've got to have a team to basically bring on 1 or 2 boys.
Sorry, Andy, you've got time for one more quick question. Carry
okay,
on.
Yeah, it's still exciting, though, on the other side, Michael, to watch Villa's under-23s hold Liverpool in the first half. Louis Barry at 17, that still gets you going, and that was a great goal. And so there are pros and cons, I suppose, and for them, for those lads, it was a real experience.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's in vogue to actually doubt the FA Cup. I love this weekend. Okay, you've got to put it into some sort of perspective. You know, some of the quotes, magic, close quotes, was a little bit forced. But when you think about it, that moment was the schoolboy dream moment, wasn't it? Mm. You know, 17 years old, he'll remember that goal for the rest of his life. And actually, it will probably define him for a few years. And what struck me about that was the joy of it all. And it was actually his interview afterwards. You know, that you've got there, that's the dream in action. And I loved that. I thought it was terrific.
I love the fact he swapped shirts with Fabinho, and then the point was made that as a Villa fan, he just scored a goal for Villa against Liverpool, that he might want to keep that. So he had to go back to Fabinho and say, sorry about it, can I have my shirt back as well?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Apparently he was all right about, which you can imagine. But
that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was a lovely story. Thank you,
Mike. They're not supposed to swap shirts.
Not officially. That's why Tottenham, yesterday the Spurs brought a fresh set of shirts for the Marine Classic players and left them there. So, I mean, just finally, Mike, on that subject, really, we're facing a difficult few weeks, I think. We've seen this late change of fixture, Spurs-Fulham now instead of Spurs-Villa. There's going to have to be a lot of flexibility, I think, in scheduling over the next few weeks. It won't be ideal for some teams, and there maybe be a bit of moaning. But I think we're going to see more of that. Likewise, Pep saying very hard for players not to celebrate a moment when they score a goal. You know, it's natural, but we're hearing the government say that if elite sport is going to continue, some changes are going to have to be made. So I think it's going to be quite a difficult few weeks.
I think so. You know, what we've had is a can of worms being opened to a degree, where you've got, I don't believe in these sort of conspiracy theories, but there's always a sense that, oh, well, the biggest clubs make the biggest noise, so they'll be indulged. So would Manchester City or Liverpool or Manchester United have been put in the situation that Fulham have been put in by this very quick revision of the game? I understand it's a logical solution, and we've got extraordinary circumstances. I do think that what we've got now is that the whole system is opened up to doubt in terms of, well, where's the season going? You've got this intractable problem of European competitions. Some managers will have to narrow their priorities, so that might then justify them playing weaker teams in the FA Cup again. What about this summer's Euros? It's you know, everything's to play for, or not to play for, as the case may be.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And the final whistle blows, and the magic of the FA Cup is well and truly alive in West Sussex. It's arguably the greatest result in the history of Crawley Town. They have knocked out Leeds United, the winners of the FA Cup in 1972. Leeds United, who have got out with a whimper today, beaten by 3-0.
Yes, talking about being flexible with fixtures, we did very much the same thing on TalkSport over the weekend. I think it was fair to say the Chelsea-Morecambe game was a done deal, and so they crossed to Joe Shannon, who was at the Crawley-Leeds game, which was incredible. And joining us now, the score of the first goal, really laying down a marker, a cracking goal. Nick Saruda, good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah. In the immediate aftermath of the game, we could see you were sort of very emotional and all sorts of mixed emotions. But has it sunk in now? You've had another 24 hours for it to sink in. How are you feeling about it now?
Oh, do you know what? I'm still buzzed. To be honest, it still doesn't feel real. It's an incredibly proud moment.
I mean, you've watched Leeds play brilliantly this season, and they've had lots of plaudits. Were you surprised at the ease in which you beat them?
I think it was a surprising result. I mean, I don't think we expected to win 3-0. Leeds are a great side. They've got great players. But, we always believe from the start. I mean, we've got a great manager, great staff, very talented players in our squad. And, we always believe that, we could go there with no fear and get a result.
Yeah. I think you've watched the goal back now. It's is it up there with one of your best? I mean, you turn them inside out and you drill it in the corner. It was as good as it gets, really, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely the best I've scored.
So, what did the manager say to you in the build up to this and before you went out? What was his kind of what was his take on it? What did he tell you to do?
He just said, have no fear, go out. I mean, you're all good players. He goes, we're going out to win. Go out, show no fear and go play your football.
Yeah, I suppose your manager was surprised to, Bielsa, to lose to a young manager like yours.
Sorry, say that again, it'd get cut out, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, both managers in their 60s, but your manager slightly younger than Bielsa.
It's a whippersnapper compared with Bielsa.
Tell us a bit about, I mean, it was said on the commentary, of course, you've had quite a long road back. It's been a difficult time for you, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yeah. A few years back, had a bad car accident. Well, don't forget the day, the 15th of July, 2017, which put me out of action for a year. It was a very difficult time because for about 10 months the injury wasn't, we didn't really know what the problem was. Mm. A lot of doctors were uncertain, would I ever be able to, play football again, which was really hard to take. It just makes this moment extra special. It was taken away from me. A lot of dark days, and like when that ball hit the back of the net, it all just sort of hit me.
Yeah. Were you at Spurs at the time of the accident, Nick? Were you still there at that stage?
Yeah, I was. I was given my first year pro, and I was actually driving in to play my first game. It was a pre-season game, and unfortunately had the accident and was never able to play for them again.
And you went to Brentford. Funny enough, we were talking about Brentford B earlier on because Neil Warnock, after they beat Borough at the weekend, was saying that he feels the under-23 system isn't working. And Brentford have gone in a different direction. And you know, the fact that when you play B football, you don't only play academies, you play against non-league sides. You kind of mix it up. Do you think that sort of put you in good stead?
100%. I mean, I had the best year... you know, of learning under Neil McFarlane and Sam Saunders last year. And like you said, playing against, you know, completely different opposition, you know, men, boys, you know, it was a great learning year for me. And I feel like it really gave me a lot of confidence for this year because I felt so well prepared from that.
So it does really make that kind of difference, you think? I mean, well, you've come through an academy system at a top club, but you think that balance of B football it does kind of give you more of a grounding for the future?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, I was very fortunate enough to play for Spurs growing up. I had that education there. You know, being a technical player, they definitely helped, with those skills. But I definitely thought last year for me, with Brentford was a great learning year.
Is it a bit of a shame you felt you couldn't go out and celebrate, you boys? The manager said go off and go and enjoy yourselves. He meant at home after he said that.
Yeah, of course.
So that is a shame, really, that you that as a team having achieved that, you couldn't go out and celebrate.
It is. I mean, there was great scenes in the changing room, you know, being able to share it with each other. You know, obviously it's disappointing, what's been happening, but it was nice for me to be able to come back to my family and share this proud moment with them. You know, they're always there for me, supporting me throughout, the dark times, and for a while as well, things weren't so great for me, and it's just nice to be able to share this proud moment with them.
Absolutely,
that's really great. The club have made a couple of glamorous signings. The Wright brothers, Mark made his professional debut. He's pretty glamorous, isn't he? Pretty showbiz. So, what are the lads made of him?
No, do you know what? They work really hard. The pair of them. Mark's been brilliant since he's come in. He's a good guy. He works hard, and I'm happy for them both that they made their debut so coolly yesterday, and they deserve it.
And who would you like in the fourth? Well, you're going to get the fourth and fifth round tonight.
Well, so, it's got to be Tottenham, surely. Well, it's got to be Tottenham.
You would think you'd probably like to play against Spurs, or I don't know. You're a Tottenham fan, Nick?
No, I actually grew up an Arsenal fan.
Oh, right.
I don't feel any hate towards them. Whoever we get, we'll treat every team the same, and we'll prep for that game.
And I wonder if, this is unusual that you're going to have both rounds drawn at once. And I wonder if that'll be, give teams... I'd love to play against these guys, but, I'd love to play against Manchester United in the fifth round as well. So there might be a little bit of incentive there.
Yeah, definitely. But, like I said, I think whoever we get, in the leagues, we're going to treat them the same. We'll prepare the same. And that's what we're going to do. That's what our focus is on us. Whoever we get, obviously, we'd love a top flight Prem team and cause another upset. Whoever we get, we'll treat it the same.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, there was a bit of a sort of minor, not quite as salacious as we've seen over the years in the tabloids, but there was a bit of a story about Benjamin Mendy flying in a young lady from Greece the story was told. Apparently, Benjamin wooed Claudia Marino, not Mourinho, Claudia Marino online.
She is a special one.
Then flew you're my special one, he said. Flew from Athens to his £5 million Cheshire home, apparently, which didn't go down too well with the club. And she admitted she had been up for fun and said they romped. She added, "I'm not naive and I know what footballers are like, and I thought it would be an experience. He was single, so I wasn't hurting anybody. We had some drinks and had a laugh," says Claudia. "One day he took me to Leeds, where he saw his dentist." Boy, he knows how to show a girl a good time, doesn't he, old Benjamin? "Stick with me, and next, if you come back again, he's off to the chiropractors. Fantastic. Should meet my chiropodist."
Why hasn't he got a dentist in Manchester? That wouldn't make any sense at all.
He likes the guy in Leeds. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but how did he even know about him? That's ridiculous.
But, maybe, you know, Claudia, she come all the way from Athens. She's probably sitting there sipping a cocktail, and he says, right, Claudia, get your coat on. We're going to Leeds. I've got to get my teeth sorted out. Fantastic. What a lovely trip for her. She'd probably sat,
very nice.
She's probably quite familiar with a number of magazines. Five-year-old auto car. She sat there half an hour. Horse and Hound. Did a couple of Cosmos. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know either. Now, a lot of people, you're talking about travelling from Greece to here, and a lot of people have been going to Dubai. It's proving quite controversial,
yeah,
really.
A couple of teams one, as well, unfortunately.
Well, exactly. And the one place when footballers go to Dubai, and football people, the one place they go to is the restaurant Salt Bay, owned by Nusret. He's a brilliant guy. He's known for his sort of basically... The meat's incredible. It comes wrapped in gold leaf. That's completely pointless. Cost you an absolute fortune. And then he does this thing where he just basically flings the salt on the meat, and then he goes, wow, like that. That's what he does. Yeah, anyway, Gianni Infantino was visiting.
The head of the boss of FIFA, not the plumber.
Not the plumber. And, oh, God, he really made a fuss of him. And Infantino's got a massive family. They're all there. Of course, it cost him an absolute fortune, this meal. Yeah. Then they played football afterwards, the Steak 11 versus Infantino's.
The Steak 11? What, the steakhouse? All the guys who work in his place played football with their FIFA?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Bit weird.
I know.
Normally do that at a restaurant. You don't need to go out to a restaurant for the night, and then afterwards everybody says, we've got to have 11 a side game, full tilt. Not great prep, is it, really?
No, but it was really odd because Infantino had dinner in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Then the next day he had breakfast in the restaurant. So I don't know what was good.
An old steak for breakfast. Oh, he'd be meat
bound. He does do a certain kind of breakfast steak.
He'll be in a right steak now, old Gianni.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
I've got some planning news for you, Andy.
Oh, yeah,
and
good.
It involves one of your playing heroes, John Terry. So we haven't got the jingle. Don't worry about the jingle. Anyway, planning news. Here it is on TalkSport. And play at the end if you like. Yeah, well, we'll do that just to give it an airing. And John Terry's plans to build a poolside bar and triple garage have been given the boot, apparently. Apparently John wanted to do that, but he wanted to add staff quarters to his mansion. Nice. But it led to objections from neighbours, and he's been refused permission in Surrey.
Not the Australian soap opera. They didn't object to
it. Home and Away weren't particularly pleased about it either. He's already in the house. He has a library. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stables and a tennis court there.
Yes.
And,
because his wife, loves to write, doesn't she? She does a bit of dressage. I remember Rupert reporting on her, I think.
Fantastic.
And
I've got more, Andy. And neighbours said they would get no respite from noise nuisance throughout the year. So, and the replacement garage for all of his SUVs was also deemed too large. So, I mean, what with that and COVID, it's not been a great weekend for JT, is it, really?
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, going to have to spend more time in the library.
Did you see also this story about Britain's most hapless learner driver?
Oh, that was, hang on, they've got the...
Oh,
that,
sorry,
that was...
Planning news.
Yeah. That was worth it, wasn't it?
Tremendous.
Great.
So good. Let's hear it again. No,
it's not.
And, Britain's most hapless learner driver finally passed his test after failing 157 times.
Wow, wee.
And I bet he's still a better driver than me, though.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. Did you pass first time, Andy?
I did, yeah.
Really?
Yes, thanks.
Wow, there wasn't a lot of cars on the road then, though, was there, really?
That's true.
It was less of a problem.
Thanks to Mr. Knapp, my instructor from McIntyre School of Motoring.
still getting a name check.
Still
Is he still teaching? I doubt it. If he taught you to drive, Andy, he'd be about 150, wouldn't he? Still got the Model T, got the old crank starter lesson. Yeah,
this story about Dickie Bird's statue in Barnsley is a very odd story.
Maybe the listeners in Barnsley could tell us more, because people keep abusing it, don't they?
They're leaving draping underwear on it, and bras and knickers. we rang up a local journalist to find out, but nobody seems to know why this has started. It's just become a thing.
Yeah, because obviously Dickie's got his finger raised, as all good umpires do.
Yeah.
And so people are going along just hanging stuff on it. I've noticed at Halloween they kind of put a pumpkin on it, a sort of plastic pump. People have stuck stuff on it in the past, but I don't know why.
It'd be better if it was Billy Bowden, because at least it'd be like a coat hook.
Well, but you could hang your coat on that, couldn't you? Yeah, but it does seem odd that people have chosen a sort of skimpy underwear has become the order there. It may be, I don't know if it's anything to do with Claudia, maybe they pop from Leeds to Barnsley. Where he had to go and see another specialist. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see, a lot of people are very, I suppose rightfully so, but they're unhappy about Sean Dyche's suggestion. And I think he did it for the right reasons, but his suggestion that perhaps footballers should be the first people, or amongst the first people, to be vaccinated with the corona vaccine. But obviously, this letter to the Sun, though, is amazing. Sean Dyche is an idiot, apparently, for suggesting Premier League players be fast-tracks, as Pete Carroll, Washington Tyne and Weir. They would just party more. What about critical workers out gritting the roads? And you think, of all the frontline people, they're probably the last, because even if they were vaccinated today, by the time it kicked in, they wouldn't be needed anymore because they won't be gritting the roads, will they? So,
are you
saying,
haven't
thought this through, mate?
I mean, I think the people who grit the roads have other roles within council operations. I don't think they have. It's not like a 2-year gig or 2-week gig a year, is it? They just go out. It's great money. I'm on 200 grand a year. I only work for about 4 days a year. It's fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. Andy, you're back on Wednesday, aren't you?
Yes, I'm just going up to Leeds to see if I can find Benjamin Mendy's dentist.
Yeah, well, he must be really good, considering he travels all that way and takes his girlfriend with him, so he obviously wanted to show his dentist off. So, Andy's back. He's going to give us Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. Max will be with me on Tuesday and on Thursday. But thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.